Welcome to the Diamond Da Vinci's podcast, a show dedicated to the artistry and science of sports field management and celebrating the groundskeepers who create those masterpieces. The Diamond Da Vinci's podcast is sponsored by Beacon Athletics for over 68 years, providing solutions for sports field managers. Well, we're back after a brief hiatus, and we'll explain why coming up at the beginning of this show.
And then in our Out of the Park segment, we're going to talk with Brian Hall. He's the Facilities Maintenance Director for Sylvania Recreation District in Ohio. He puts on two very large tournaments each year in a pretty small town, so we're going to discuss how he manages to juggle such large events, but still come out smelling so purty on the other side.
Ah, it smells good. And we'll close the show celebrating the All-Star break in Major League Baseball, talking about taking a break from our jobs.
I need a break.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll have all that and more after she takes a quick break. And good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, whatever the heck time that you listen to this show. Sometimes I don't want to know that kind of news. But I'm Paul Zawoski, your co-host, the host, actually, of the Diamond Da Vinci's podcast.
That's right. Don't sell yourself short.
That's right. And I'm joined by Teresa Beyer, my talented co-host and producer of the show.
Hola. And my dog in the background. It's just a circus around here today. It's a circus.
You got a regular...
I swear.
Audience in your studio.
Good grief. I know, right? You think I could pay somebody to help me out with this?
Well, we've been gone for a little while. Not too long.
Just long enough.
Yeah, we missed getting out a show, and I'm sure some of our regular listeners noticed that.
And I'm sure they're thankful once they hear why.
Yeah. So we had a confluence of a couple things happening at the time. First with Teresa.
Yep, it was great. We had, I'm pretty sure, what was the plague. the boy had it, the girl had it, I had it. Larry managed to escape. That's because he's not around anymore. He's too busy at work.
Stadium, that's right. He slept many nights there. Apparently.
Yeah, but there was a lot of mucus.
description that I wanted there.
Yeah, well, I just wanted our listeners to know how much better off they were without the show and not having to listen to that.
Yeah. And then on top of that, then I took a little longer than a week vacation, and
Slacker.
I just actually came back today as my first day back to work.
Welcome back, Paul.
So, thanks. And so I went out east, and annually I make my my trek out to the old ballpark in Baltimore and Maryland area and see old friends and whatnot, and got to see some customers, visited some customers like Towson University, Ocean City Park and Rec.
Nice.
Who else did I hit? There was some others, and I'm trying to remember who they were. But it's always great to go out and talk to customers and get their feedback of how we're doing for them. And fortunately, everything was nice and rosy.
Yay.
And so that was good. But had a good time. Caught a ball game at Oriole Park. Nicole's got the ballpark looking fabulous.
As always.
But needless to say, we missed a show, and we're sorry, and we'll try and keep that from happening. If Teresa can stay out of the sick house and I can stay at work all the time and never take a vacation, we should miss a thing.
And we don't want to miss a thing. So
no,
works.
We don't. and we value every bit of our regular listeners that do listen to the show. So.
Absolutely. Thanks, you guys, for sticking in and not thinking that we were pod fading.
That's right. That's right. So with that, let's take a quick break here because we've already worked really hard over this past 5 minutes that we could really use one.
Absolutely.
And, we'll be right back with our Out of the Park interview. Innovation. That's what we're all about at Beacon. We spend each summer out on fields working with field maintenance equipment, and from that come ideas. Our engineer takes those ideas, develops them, perfects them, and then we test them. Not just once, but daily at our field maintenance research facility. We work out as many bugs as we can while we evaluate the product. Once perfected and the desired performance is achieved, we give it our Beacon Built stamp. That's how we've developed such revolutionary products as the Streamliner Chalker, the Sweet Spot Tamp System, the Phantom Batting Cage, the Beacon Field Weights and Tarp Cart, the Adjustable Weight Nail Drag, and the list goes on and on. We live and breathe sports field management. We walk the walk and we talk the talk. Don't you think it's time to give Beacon a look? To request a catalog, give us a call at 800-747-5985 or make a request from our website at www.beaconathletics.com, where our web store is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all year long. And we're back with our Out of the Park interview today. And today we're going to be talking with Brian T. Hall. No relation, by the way, to the former country singer Tom T. Hall. Brian is the Facilities and Maintenance Director for the Sylvania Recreation District in Sylvania, Ohio, just near Toledo. Brian, welcome.
Thank you. I'm real excited to get the opportunity to talk to you guys. Never done anything like this, so we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, sure, you're really excited. Anyways, let's get this chore out of the way for you, shall we?
Oh, Paul, come on. I'm not that boring. You might be, but I'm not.
Oh, I'm definitely boring. Brian, let's get the usual information
background
out of the way. First, let's talk about your history in the industry. Where you came from, where you grew up, how'd you get involved, and how'd you get the job that you've got?
Well, I guess that's a long ways to go back. I'm getting kind of old, but see if I can remember that far back. You know, I'm from Northwest Ohio, grew up in Northwest Ohio, and my family has a farm not too far away from Toledo.
Oh, cool.
And ended up, after graduating high school, I knew I wanted to go to college. I just wasn't real sure what I wanted to do, and long story short, ended up in parks and recreation, or more specifically, like natural resource management, and wanted to work for the park systems, worked for the Metro Parks here in Toledo, and that worked out well through school. But then I had to get a real job after I graduated from the University of Toledo, and looked around here, not a whole lot. Had a job where I was on the road working with trees and whatnot, and I didn't really enjoy that. And had a previous boss call me and said, "Hey, there's a job open as a ground supervisor up in Sylvania at the park up there." And I came up here, and that's where I met Boyd Montgomery.
Okay.
And got a job working here as a ground supervisor, and worked my way up. I guess I did a good enough job for them to keep me on. I moved to the assistance position under Boyd Montgomery back in the day. And then when he left our agency and went to up in your neck of the woods there, Teresa.
Yep, coming here for Toro.
I was fortunate enough. Yep, he's up there at Toro. And I was fortunate enough, one, to learn quite a bit from him. And two, they felt I was good enough for the director's position here at the Recreation District in Sylvania, and I've been doing this position for, wow, has it been 10 or 12 years or something like
that? Wow.
So, yeah, time flies. And
it sure does.
Education-wise, again, I really don't have any, I guess, formal education on turf grass. A lot of it was learned on the job, and I got involved in a lot of the associations, state level, locally, as well as at the national level. And I met a lot of great people along the way through those associations and learned a lot. And I did a lot of listening. I even remember Paul's name from way back. I'm like, man, that'd be a cool job. But I don't know. I've been fortunate.
Not this one.
You know, when I was young, absolutely. When
the
I first
one.
Started, I thought you know, being the head grounds guy at a major league club would be a pretty sweet gig. But I'm
wish for.
Yeah, I know. And you know, with the monster that me and my staff have to manage here at the Recreation District, people look at me and say, "Why do you continue to do it? And I say, "Because when I get up every morning, I put a smile on my face and I love coming to work."
Oh, that's
so
great.
It's a fun job. The people I work with are great here, and the community is top notch. So I guess
well,
that's a
You know, you're not out of the ordinary because you didn't get schooling in that. I mean, you know, would say more often than not, people don't have a Reggie start in this business with the education. It's becoming more common for people to do that. But I think if you were to look at the numbers in sports turf and in park and recreation, I think you're still more the norm than the exception.
Yeah, I just feel like I've had to learn an awful lot as we go through this process and you go to all these conferences, and they are, well, like Teresa. She's got all the science behind her, and I'm like, man, I have no
idea
what
you're
talking about.
You know, that's the response more often than anything else is, well, I don't know what you're talking about, Teresa.
Yep, I hear you.
So a lot of freaking good it does me.
She just does it to impress people.
yeah, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Where do you think you got the most education? Do you think it was from going to the conferences, or did you do reading on your own or study on your own? There's so much information at some of those conferences. Do you think that really bolstered your education?
I think that and just meeting the turf manager family here in the state, and grasping hold of those guys and gals, and just being able to reach out to them, whether it be here in the Toledo area or across the state or even at the national level. Again, those conferences really gave me a lot of information, and I say this quite a bit. I'm a product of the Ohio Sports Turf Managers Association, the National Sports Turf Managers Association, the Ohio Turf Grass Foundation. I am a product of not only those associations, but also the people that are involved in that, because I knew nothing when I came into this industry. And I had to learn a ton about turf and athletics. And I played ball when I was a kid, but, you know, I never had to manage it. And natural resource management gave me a lot of the basics.
Yeah.
But being able to reach out to these folks has helped me tremendously, and I still not only use them as resources, but they're great friends as well.
And that's what's changed so much since the 80s when I got into the industry, which at that time we're talking early 80s. You know, STMA started in 82, and which is the same time I became a turf student. You know, at that time, you didn't have as much of this available to people, so there wasn't a lot of sharing of information, and now there's so much of it, which is fabulous, because that just makes everyone in the industry, whether they went through college and got educated, or whether they're learning it on their own, just makes life so much better. And of course, you know, the more educated you are, the better you can do your job. So that's fantastic to hear. Well, let's talk about a couple things here. Now, you recently held a state tournament that apparently you hold every year. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that tournament?
Well, I guess we've got two large tournaments that we host every year. One is a state tournament that actually hosts the northern half of Ohio for the Ohio Youth Soccer Association. But prior to that, annually, Memorial Day weekend, the Saturday, Sunday, and Monday Memorial Day weekend, we host another tournament for a local travel soccer club. And they bring in quite a few teams. We started out kind of small with this group, and actually at that time we were running a softball tournament at the same time simultaneously, so we had two going on at the same time. But the soccer event got to be so large that we had to pick and choose, and when I say large, I think this year our numbers, they had 343 teams that came in for Memorial Day weekend.
Holy crow.
Yeah, and we played, I think, over those 3 days, 586 games. And then 9 days later, less than 9 days later, we do it again for our State Cup event. And they had 263 games on the schedule for that weekend.
Do you have any grass left, Brian?
You know, I tell you what, it's sometimes pretty scary, and we've had... this was back in 2011, I think. We had so much rain that we tried to bring a helicopter in to dry the fields out. We were pushing water, moving water, and they really beat the fields up. But if anybody out there has ever thought about using turf-type tall fescue on high-traffic fields, I would say put some Roundup on your bluegrass to put tall fescue in. I know there's not too many people maybe that'll say that out loud.
I have a client looking at that. That's funny.
I'm going to tell you.
It really holds up.
It's a great, and it'll withstand lower nitrogen inputs, lower moisture inputs.
Yep.
And to put that number of gains in 9 days on those fields, and 2 weeks later, maybe a little bit of aerification, a ton of water, and just let it set. You go out there right now. We did do some overseeding in some of the gold mouse, or the what we call the goat path, where the officials run back and forth. you would not be able to tell that there has even been a game out there. So,
yeah. Wow.
That's why we can do it, and it works out very well for us.
I've always impressed with turf type tall fescues when I was out in Baltimore. In fact, I was just out on vacation last week in Baltimore and visited with Towson University, and their baseball field is all turf type tall fescue. And let me tell you, it looked fabulous, absolutely beautiful.
Yep.
But let me ask you this, Brian.
Yeah. Did,
are you blending a small percentage of bluegrass in with that, or are you 100% turf type tall fescue?
Upon installation, that was 100% turf type tall fescue. Now,
okay.
I know over the years, maybe some of the staff has made a mistake and gone out and put a little bit of rye in some area.
okay.
And then, of course, we got the all never leaving Poa annua that's encroaching everywhere.
Yeah.
But
what
do you do about that?
But you're not using any blue to help you recover from where blue will spread into that. No. Okay. So you just go on an overseeding regimen after those events to fill those back in.
Correct. And the good thing with that is we're very aggressive. None of the fields on this facility are set in place. To lay out a field, we basically take a stake out into our 100 acres of turf and throw a stake in the ground, and that's where the corner of that field starts. So,
sure.
So we can move our fields around. Now, those two tournaments, unfortunately, they're all pretty much in the same location.
Mm-hmm.
So we do see some heavy wear. But minimal overseeding in some of those gold mouse.
Huh.
So it's I'm shocked at how much beating, because when we come in the Monday after that second event and you just look at the facility and it is tired, worn out. the field actually look much better than the
common areas.
Traffic.
Yeah, sure.
We rent upwards of 15 golf carts for these guys and they're driving everywhere. But coming in and out of the headquarters area are just, they're beat down pretty heavily. So the fields actually don't look quite so bad. It's just all the other areas where the foot traffic is. So similar to a golf event, I would imagine.
Huh.
Do you do anything fertility-wise to prepare that field for that event?
Nothing abnormal with that. I think it's like second week of May is typically when we go out, and we're only putting about 3/4 of a pound of N out there. And we do focus a little bit on the potassium to try to get it through. But there too, again, even like the phosphorus, we don't even worry about that.
Yeah.
Right.
But nothing out of the ordinary. Again, our biggest focus is top growth during the season. A lot of my sales guys that come in and do a lot more with golf than they do sports turf, they're kind of like, man, you're pretty heavy on your N in the spring and in the fall. I'm like, well, that's when I'm putting a ton of activity on these fields back to back, and we're trying to keep that top growing so it doesn't get down to the crown and kill off the plant.
Yep.
And so we're just throwing a ton of nitrogen at it, and actually, you know, with this organic program, we've went from about 4.5 pounds of N per year to this year I'm at like 2.8 annually.
Wow.
Wow.
Just got a really nice slow release on that. Sorry.
Yeah. And we're adding three times a year. We're putting about, I think my math is correct on this, 2 tons per acre three times a year of a compost sand mixture.
Ah.
And on top of that, to help supplement, we're adding biostimulants. We're very heavy in clay at this facility. And so the nutrients have a tendency to lock up and they'll stay in place. So we're doing everything we can to help loosen that stuff up while reducing what we're putting in there. So, and again, the gentleman that I have keeping an eye on my soils and helping walk me through this and making sure we're going down the right road, he's done a great job helping with that as well. So it seems to work very well, even with some of those lower levels of input of N.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, that's great. I mean, that's one of the other benefits to tall fescue is it does have the endophytic fungi that will help you find what you need, especially working in a clay soil. There's all kinds of stuff locked up in that soil that particular type of grass can get at. So that's wonderful.
Yep. And again, just being in the community that we're in, every time that we go out with a applicating piece of equipment, somebody's looking at it and asking, what is that? And we're trying to obviously be good stewards of our environment, but also reduce the number of times that we get asked that question.
Mm.
Right. So we know your fertility history. So how are you with those fields and the amount of activity they're getting? What do you do in a compaction response? What kind of aerification program are you using? Are you using a combination of deep tine and shallow tine and
solid, and
hollow core? What do you do?
We have not used solid tine, Paul. We've primarily been using the hollow core over the last many years. Just recently, 2 or 3 years ago, we purchased a new piece of equipment that allowed us to switch out a little bit more rapidly from a deeper tine to that hollow core. But we'll go out there every chance that we get. Usually in March, we're out there hollow core and as much as we possibly can prior to our spring season. If we get a chance right after our spring season and those two tournaments are done, we will go back out. But unfortunately, this year we went straight into drought conditions.
Oh.
And the turf was already stressed, so I have not had that chance to get out and do any more. We'll try to do it if I see a window. I remember last year we had high of 65 degrees for like 4 or 5 days in July.
Wow.
And I think everybody in the entire state was out aerating the fields. Borrowing aerators and just trying to get everything done. But we haven't had a chance. We'll hollow core again as many times as we can throughout the year. And then finally, before we put the place to bed, usually late October, early November, we'll go in with a deep tine and just do the entire facility and really break it up.
Hmm. And how deep will you go?
I believe those started out right around 10 to 12 inches.
Okay.
And I think they've worn down quite a bit since we started that. The cost of replacement tines is pretty high.
You got that, especially when you got to get so many.
Sorry, are you guys irrigated?
Yes, we have. I think we had over 2,000 irrigation heads out here on last count. We're an odd system. We're the old hydraulic system. And we got to be careful with some of our deep tining in certain areas so we're not hitting tubing and whatnot. But we've got the Toro 640s out here, and they're champs. Not too long ago, we pulled one of the motors out of the ground that had a year stamp of 1988 on it. And those things just run like crazy out here. But we're fully irrigated. As a matter of fact, I just checked my irrigation numbers. I think we're at 14 million gallons so far this year. It's been so dry. It's ridiculous.
Mm. So how big is the facility that you are responsible for, or facilities that you are responsible for? Do you know approximately how many acres you're working on?
The main facility, Paysetter Park, is 140 acres. About 100 acres of that is turf. And then throughout the community, overall, which includes Paysetter Park, we're about 225, I believe, is where we're at. Back in town, we have another Four Diamond Complex. It's kind of a standalone. But then some of the other facilities that we are responsible for the maintenance of, those are your behind your elementary school type stone lot baseball fields, and our programs are so large we can't accommodate for all those games here at our main facility or even at our other one back in town, Veterans. So mm-hmm. we put them at those facilities. But I'm also responsible.
You're talking about the good kind of fields, the ones with broken glass on, where you get the real effect.
Yeah, that has absolutely no monitoring of it during the off hours
those
and all night.
Those are the kind I grew up
on. Yeah, those are the best, where people come in and break your bleachers and steal your bases and rip your home plate.
You're not playing real baseball as a kid unless you get onto some of those diamonds.
Got to toughen them up somehow, right?
That's right.
You get that right. But you know, beyond that, we have aquatic facilities that we have responsibilities at. We've got a outdoor entertainment venue where we host concerts and all kinds of different maybe weddings or benefits and stuff like that. And we get some pretty decent names in at that facility, from Eric Church to Ted Nugent to I think we got Chicago and Styx and a bunch of stuff coming up this year. So that keeps us busy as well down there. And then I've got my winter responsibilities at an indoor facility. That's the new rage is the plastic turf. So we're taking care of that during the winter as well.
One of the questions I love to ask people in the park and rec industry is, what types of fields are growing in demand, and what types of fields are do you see that the demand is waning on? What sports?
Oh.
You know, I think soccer has held steady.
Mm-hmm.
I think lacrosse is one of the big up-and-comers, at least in our community. It has, over the past 15 years since I've been with this agency, quadrupled, I would say, in size, and that seems to be one of the bigger demands right now. Baseball and softball, they're kind of holding their own. That's kind of a little bit deeper, I think, story when you're talking travel and recreational.
Yeah.
But some of the upper divisions of the youth baseball, they're looking at playing more on the high school size fields, which we can't accommodate, unfortunately, at this facility without some major renovations. So we partner with our local high schools to utilize their facilities when we have stuff going on. But I would say the biggest up and comer right now has probably got to be the lacrosse, and it's pretty steady. So
and
I don't see that going away.
That's commonly what I've heard, you know, over the past several years is the lacrosse sport taking hold in places other than in the East, of course, which is where it came, where it started.
Yeah, it's certainly getting larger here in the state of Ohio.
Do you see any, what's the game similar to baseball?
Cricket.
We, you know, at a club level, at more of a recreational level, we have had one group, and that's probably 8 years or so ago. They came to us, and they wanted us to put a cricket pitch in. But the way that facility or way that field is built, and I can't remember what that clay area is called specifically, but we felt that was going to land right in the middle of where we put a lot of our soccer fields for some of these larger tournaments. And we recommended that back in the community there was another green space that was available for them. And they actually utilized it for quite a few years. I'm not sure if they're still over there or not, but we've had some interest in that.
Interesting.
Go ahead. No, I was going to ask about your crew. What is your, you know, you were talking about your winter responsibilities. Do you have full crew over the winter? Do you have split crews? How are you set up, if you don't mind telling us about it?
We primarily have been an outdoor season department, and we have six, in my department, there's six of us that are full-time. We work year-round. There's a lot of stuff, and everybody asks, what do you do during the winter? Well, we keep everything in-house. We pull all of our own wrenches on our equipment. We've got a very diverse skill set amongst our full-time staff. And so those six guys, they work all year round, working on equipment, going to conferences, you know, just getting stuff ready. But then when our season starts, which is typically mid-March, we bring our seasonal staff members on. And that's usually right around 17 to 19 seasonal staff members.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll work with us until the end of October, maybe that first week in November. Their primary roles are, you know, we've got some older guys that have retired from their jobs that they made a career out of, and they're just looking for something to keep themselves busy a couple days during the week. And they'll come in, sit on our big 15-foot mowers and mow some of our big green spaces. But then we've got the 16-year-old kid that comes in, and it's his first job, and we've got to train them on not only how to, you know, get into the workforce, but also try to keep up with what we do out here. This is no easy task, and the youth of today are not nearly as active as maybe what me or, well, I came from a little bit of a farm community, so you know, we were expected to work.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a very diverse group of staff members that we have out here and even across our entire agency. So,
well, you're speaking my language. You're speaking my language, because that's what I'm looking to do in retirement is find a sod farm or someplace where I can just sit on a mower and no obstructions around. I can just mow.
You know, Paul, I'm not sure if I could do it, because you go out there after the first 3 hours of just back and forth. You're like, man, this is boring.
That's what podcasts are for.
I like being in the middle of it, I guess.
Well, so you do a lot of your own in-house work, so you've got a specialized group to do that. Do you guys rotate your positions? Do you have certain folks? You know, you said you do a little bit of that for your full-time crew. For your seasonal crew, do you also rotate them around, or do, you know, Bob comes in, Bob takes the rake, that's what Bob does, because we don't have time to train everyone to do a little bit of everything? Or will you find that it works better for your group if you have specialized tasks, or how do you set that up, especially when you have to switch everything over for a big tournament?
Yeah, that's the biggest challenge that we face is trying to get the right people in the right positions with our seasonal staff. We give them, everybody gets the same amount of training, so they're kind of expected to at least meet the minimum requirements for all the work that we do out here. And then as we go along throughout the season, you start to pick and choose the guys that, okay, these guys do a little bit better at this, so maybe we'll put them on there during our big tournaments or whatnot to obviously make our facility shine. But we're also sitting on the other side of the fence going, all right, if I have Billy prepping fields all day for 3 straight months, Billy's going to get bored and not want to do it no more.
Yep.
And so we run into that as well. So it's a challenge for us annually to try to get the right people in the right position. But we do. We try to give everybody the diversity so that when people need time off, and as youth do nowadays, they want to go spend time with their families or their friends and go on vacations and enjoy their summer while they're away from school. And we want to try to allow that as much as possible without having to carry extra staff members just to accommodate for that. So when one person steps out, somebody else can quickly fill back in. And I think it helps us run a little bit more smoothly when we can find quite a few different people that can do the same job adequately.
Yeah, it always helps to, you know, when I was a manager, when I managed people in at the Orioles, you know, you kind of learn that you find what people are good at or what they really are interested in doing, and you let them flourish and move that way and do their thing. But it is also good to make sure that you at least get them familiar with the other jobs so they know what they're doing. But, you know, that's the key to making people really love a job is find out what they really like and what they really want to play with. And if you can accommodate them, do it. And sometimes you'll see those people really flourish and really take off. And, you know, that's a big learning experience for a lot of managers. A lot of managers don't, you know, have never really taken that into consideration. And, you know, as a manager, you can't expect everybody to work like you do. Everybody works differently. And you want to be able to find what they do the best. And let them run with it and go and evolve and become a better worker.
Yeah, and give them a voice. I mean, we found one thing that we're trying this year is we've taken our seasonal staff members and we've kind of divvied them up to some of the supervisors, and we started a mentoring program where one of my managers, he's responsible for four of these guys. And, you know, once a week out in the field, in the office, whatever, hey, buddy, how you doing? What can we do for you? What are we giving you? What would you like to do? And that's giving them that doorway to say, I'd like to learn how to mow or operate this piece of equipment, or I'm getting kind of burnt out on ball field prep. It gives them the ownership, and we're trying that. It's showing some promise and just keeping the morale up and getting these guys to, you know, put their best foot forward every day. So, yeah, managing staff is probably one of the biggest challenges that we face on a daily basis.
Yeah. One of the things we're talking about on today's show is making sure that we take time for ourselves and getting some time off. I know how impossible that is to do during the summertime. Paul knows how impossible that is to do during the summertime. You know, where do you find your chance to relax? Do you wait for the winter and take a big vacation? Do you, you know, try to eke out, you know, a Friday here or a Friday there, or what works for you?
What works?
or are you like the person I am married to, and you it don't relax?
it's very hard, and I've seen both sides. The director that was here before me, he was here literally 7 days a week during the season, and I saw that, and I saw how much stress was on him, and I'm a big family person, and always have been, and when I moved into this position, that was one of my things, was I can't spend that much time here. I want to spend time with my family because, you know, you do work for your family, you do work for your free time, and you got to be able to enjoy it while you're away. Even though I carry my cell phone with me away from here, I've come through the ranks in this organization, and I've observed a lot of stuff. So when I moved in, I wanted to make sure I did my best to not only help myself get some time away, but more importantly, my managers, because they all were starting to have families as well, and I understand how important that is. So we do. We try to, even though there are several occasions, these couple soccer tournaments that we talked about a little bit ago, those weekends, you just tell your family that, hey, I'll see you when I see you, because we're all working long hours and trying to get stuff put together. But what we try to do with the number of managers that we have here is I try to give every manager every other weekend off.
Okay.
And then the weekend that they're required to work, they just work one of those days.
Oh.
And we try to get this rotation going. And then even when I got a gentleman that's out on vacation right now, when we do these vacations, we trade weekend days so that we can have vacation days and stuff like that. And then, as you mentioned earlier, Teresa, during the winter months, that's kind of our time to decompress, if you will. A lot of us use our vacation time at that time to spend time with our family throughout the holidays, because we work so others can play is our motto here.
Yep, exactly.
Memorial Day, you know, the 4th of July, even around Labor Day, you know, most of those holidays we're out here trying to work. I even had to come in on Easter a few years ago for a women's softball game that was out here that they had rescheduled for that day. I'm like, are you kidding me? So during those times of year, we're working, but during the winter months, we try to spend time with our families because I know that they sacrifice. I know what I sacrifice when I was coming up through, and it is important. It's incredibly important to try to spend time with your families.
Well, Brian, it's been a great time talking to you. A lot of great information. Interesting to hear how you handle some of the challenges you have with those big tournaments and the love that you've grown for Turf Type Tall Fescue. So we appreciate you taking time to come out on the show today.
Great, great. I appreciate you guys inviting me. Actually, a little flattered that you guys thought of me, and hopefully you guys think of me in the future maybe, and I can come back on and talk about some other stuff.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Rain. For a sports turf manager, it can be a godsend as it provides the needed water crucial to the life of your turf grass. But during baseball and softball seasons, it can be the thorn in your side on game days. Let Beacon relieve the pain of rainy game days with a full line of wet weather management tools to keep you in the game. Cover it up with Beacon's Field Shield 8-ounce tarps, available in all sizes from full infield to small area tarps. Anchor it down with Beacon's field weights and do away with those bulky, messy sandbags. Or use our new Pro Tarp Pins, so bright you won't lose these in your turf. Haul it off by using the Beacon Tarp Cart for moving and storing your mound and plate tarps off the field. Water on the field? Suck it up using Beacon's reusable puddle sponges, puddle pumps, or Diamond Pro Calcine Clay drying agents to get your games up and running again. Take the pain out of the rain and let Beacon help you. Call Beacon at 800-747-5985 to talk to our experienced staff, or check us out on the web at www.beaconathletics.com, where we're open 24/7 and ready to take your order. So, Teresa.
Yes.
You know that this is All-Star Week. And,
oh, do I? Thank heavens. Holy cow.
It means midpoint of the MLB season. It's kind of also the midpoint of the growing season to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of our customers, or not customers, lots of our listeners.
There you go.
I had the wrong hat on.
I wish they were paying us.
We wouldn't make very much.
No.
For the number of
listeners. That's true.
You know, you're starting to get into the heat of the season, so the heat's affecting you as you're working. You're working long hours. You're not getting a lot of time off. And, you know, one of the things I talk about a lot is making sure that you're getting your crew and yourself time off. You know, when I started with the Orioles, in your typical young buck ways, you know, I went for several years before I ever took a vacation from the Orioles. Now, keep in mind that we were off all winter in the early years, because at Memorial Stadium, we weren't responsible for the field once mid-October came along, and we didn't have to really even come into work. So from mid-October through mid-February, we were actually off.
Somebody else's problem.
Yeah, I didn't work at all, and it was kind of like being a school teacher. You know, you still got paid, but you know, we put in plenty of hours during the season.
Did you used to go back to Madison at that time?
I did, actually. The first couple years I was there, I would go back and ice fish and whatnot. Actually work at the old golf course that I worked at, and just enjoy the winter back there. Yes, I do enjoy winter, folks.
I do now, too. I get it.
And then I'd come back with a bunch of frozen fish fillets back to Baltimore, which the crew would love.
Fresh
go back
walleye.
To work. But as the years went on, I thought to myself, you know, I wasn't using vacation, so then it started banking up on me because I wasn't using it. It carried over. And so finally I started taking vacation. Then I started taking a lot of vacation just to try and eat up some of that, and I could never eat up as much vacation as they were giving me each year. So, you know, the point is it's important to decompress and get yourself away from work for, even if it's a couple of days. You know, I remember my former wife, her parents had a place at the ocean, Ocean
nice.
City, Maryland.
Oh,
and we would go there on a Friday afternoon after work, and I'd spend the weekend there and then come back. And I wasn't a beach going guy. You know, first of all, I just don't like being in the sun, being out in the sun all day long, which is kind of strange with my with my industry. I should say I don't like being in the heat. A lot. And so when I would go down there with her, you know, I spend most of my time inside in the air conditioning, and she would go, don't you want to go out and go to the beach? I'm like, I'm out in that stuff all day long.
Right.
I need a break from being out in the sun and sucking up all the humidity.
That's what I always try to tell my family. I'm like, I don't want to go to the beach. I've been working in this crap all summer long. I'm done.
Yeah, exactly. And so my decompression time typically was going to the beach. I loved going there. But I wanted to stay in the air conditioning and just kind of relax and not have to think about anything.
Just be away.
For a couple of days. But that really recharged, just those couple of days away would really recharge me and allow me to continue on with my stuff. And you know, your crew works hard, you work hard, and it's just so important for the mental stability of your entire staff to make sure that you get some time off.
I mean, it really is. I mean, even if you can just take an hour here or an hour there, finding that time where you can just let go and let everything kind of reset itself can make a huge difference.
Well, and more importantly, it's not only is it important to you, but more importantly, it's more important to your family. If you have kids and a wife
yes.
or significant other, whatever you've mm-hmm. got, because they don't see you a lot with
right.
all those hours. And it's probably more important to them than it is to you sometimes. So,
well, even just that you're in a good mood when they do see you. And part of yeah. being in that good mood is taking that time.
Yeah. And there's so many things you can do. You can go out and you know, go bike riding, go hiking, take a walk in the mountains or go to the shore, go to a lake. You know, it doesn't take
play
a lot.
Play video games.
Play video games. That's not my
play
thing.
Around a poker. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
whatever,
having that time. Yeah.
Yeah. Just to totally get away from it. But
a
more importantly, having time with your kids and your significant other. And
yeah,
those are important things to them. Sometimes more so to them than it is to you. And
yeah.
sometimes you got to think about their situation. It is a tough life, this industry, because of the hours that are required during the growing season.
And, absolutely.
And the long time. And you got to remember that it impacts more than just you. It impacts everybody around you. And so make sure you take that cherished time off.
Absolutely. Squeeze it in where you can.
Anything to add to that from the other side of the aisle, since you're not the one typically out working in it?
Well, but, you know, it's help your, you know, help your significant other, help your spouse find the time that they need too. I mean, because for all the time that you guys are out, and I used to be one of you guys, but you know, all the time that you guys are out on the field and all of that, and yeah, you need your decompression time. They're likely going to need it too.
You're not getting a break from childcare, you know, just taking the kids for a couple hours, go to the zoo or something, just to take the pressure off your spouse.
Yeah. Yeah. Not even that. Just get up in the morning with them, with the kids and let your other half sleep in. I would kill for that right now. Guess what I'm thinking about, Paul? But no, just something as simple as that. Again, it doesn't have to be a grand gesture. It's the summertime. We all know that we're all buckled. And that's the good thing. You know, if you have a partner that you chose well, then they understand what it is that you're doing for a living. And so they don't expect miracles in the summertime. I know that we are never going to go on vacation in the summertime. It's just not going to happen. So I don't even think about it. It doesn't even occur to me.
Sometime in the future, you might. You never know.
I doubt it.
I thought I never did. But
and I'm okay with that.
I just came back from one.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, and I'm okay with that. So I don't even plan for it, you know, but if there were a moment, and Larry's very good about that, when there's a moment where he can just grab Dominic and let me have a chance to just sit with the baby and just calm down a little bit. And he also does a really nice thing where we have, you know, because I do the podcast, and so I usually do have some help with the baby. But we've also added another day where I get some help with the kids. And so I have somebody come in just to help me around the house and to help me with the kids so that I can get some stuff done, or even just go out and go to frickin' the grocery store by myself. Right?
Without some child grabbing stuff and putting it in the cart that you don't recognize when you go through checkout.
Right. But, you know, just so I can listen to my podcast, I can decompress. Just something that small can make a big difference here or there. So it's the little things to get us all through the season.
Absolutely. So make sure you take that break whenever you can. I just took one and it sure was nice.
Yeah, rub it in.
That about wraps it up for today. We've got the book. We've closed it. That means it's time to end the show.
Well,
be sure to join us next time for more fun on the Diamond Da Vinci's.
And don't miss a minute of our next show. There are lots of places to find our podcast. You're probably getting it from Apple iTunes or from the Google Play Store. You can also find us over at our main page, beaconathletics.com/podcast. Depending on the show, we have some interesting tidbits that we like to post there as well. Sometimes pictures, sometimes articles. Come on down, come over and take a look, see what you can find. We also are part of a really neat group, baseballtalkradio.com, also known as baseballpodcasts.net. You can find us along with some other really cool baseball podcasts. If you're in it just for the baseball, that's a great place to go.
And we always love to hear from our listeners. You can email Teresa and I at podcast@beaconathletics.com, where you can send us your questions or comment on our show, good or bad. If you have show ideas, that's what we really love to hear. Send those over to us.
And if by chance you're on Twitter, our Twitter handle is @Diamond, DavinCis. That's @DiamondDaVincis. Not crazy active there, but we like to poke around once in a while and say, hey, let you know what we're up to and when we're recording.
The Diamond DaVincis podcast is sponsored by Beacon Athletics for over 68 years, providing solutions for sports fields managers. That's it. I have put in a full day of work. I'm taking another week off. I'll see you guys on the next podcast.
Adios.